Welcome back to Toys on Tap. This week is a dope week. We have Spumoni Toys coming on talking about his charge to do what he will love to do and not just work a random job. And that turns into the toy maker that we know and love with the paint skills that we know and love. If you want more Toys on Tap, you can like, follow, rate, review wherever you get podcasts. You can follow us on all socials at Toys on Tap. And if you want to support the show, you can jump on patreon.com/toysontap. Now let's get back to this week's episode of Toys on Tap.
All right.
Yo. Dude, and the studio is fire.
It's kind of a mess over here, but
God,
got a few things going on.
Dude, I'm so pumped that you're on. You've been on the list that's been rotating for so long, and I'm glad we connected.
Oh, I'm honored, man.
We connected at Indie Toy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you were at DesignerCon, but because we boothing, correct?
Yes.
Both of us boothing means we can't talk to each other.
Right.
And I hate
that. I know. You can like only get away from your table for like a little bit, and then I feel like every year I've done DCon, I always never see the entire show because I just like, you go one way, but you don't want to stray too far away. And then you try to come in like the next day early enough to see, try to see some stuff before opening, but you like don't know really where to walk. And it's just like, I'm just going to go to my table.
Dude, my dream is that if we do DesignerCon again, like they have some kind of like, before they open on Friday, there's a 2-hour space where you're not allowed to set up and it's just you talking to artists.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Like just for the vendors, it's just kind of like give the vendors time to kind of dilly dally a little bit, you know, and walk around and stuff.
Yeah, because money can be spent, but more than anything, I just want to catch up with everyone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because everyone's from like all around the world, right? So it's like most everyone I know. You know, I'm in Seattle, and I think there's maybe only one other designer up here.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's like no one up here, so everyone I talk to is either online, and then to see them in person is usually DCon. So
that's wild. Are you doing Indie Toy again?
Yeah. They asked me. They reached out to me because I didn't realize they were already, or I guess I did know that they had already like opened applications again for the next one.
Yeah.
Not the one that just happened or the one that's happening in February or whatever, but the summer one.
Cool.
For next year. It's basically the same time as the one that I was at.
Mm.
They're like, hey, there's only like maybe a handful of spots. I was like, oh, okay, hold on. And then I just immediately applied for it. But
yeah,
that was a great show. That was such a solid show. So
yeah, I tell people when they ask like what a good show looks like, this it missed all the like hangout or like whatever the buzz or whatever, but
sure,
it was packed.
Yeah,
and I unreal.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to really leave my table other than to like go to the bathroom, but like every time my fiance like stepped outside, she's like, there's literally just consistently a line around the block up until like the last hour of the show, and I was like, dang, that's crazy.
Dude, I want to get a media pass from them so I don't have to wait in that dang line.
Oh, yeah. That would be cool. I'm sure you could just reach out to them about it. They're
yeah,
people.
I'm doing their February one.
Okay.
Like tabling. That'll be fun. And then if that goes well, maybe if there's an empty table at the in the summer, I'll jump in. But hey, it's not about them. It's about you. This is all about you. And I'm pumped that you're here. It's been a long time coming. We ask every artist to do the same thing. Please introduce yourself. Tell us who you are and what you do.
Yeah. My name is Waylam Kwan, and I run Spumoni Toys Company. I primarily do kind of vintage Japanese soft vinyl style figures. I don't ever want to say like Sofubi just because my stuff is born in China, and you have those people that are gonna be like, oh, it's not real Sofubi. It's like, yeah, whatever. So and vintage style I like to add in there. So I primarily focus on like mechs and kaijus. I mean the two classics. So but yeah, that's basically what I do.
It is which that doesn't describe all of what you do, and we're gonna for sure get into it because it's wild. Yeah, that little debate of like Sifubi versus soft vinyl, I just tell people like, just buy my toy.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I think, and like some people that aren't in this like space,
Yeah.
like to explain it to them, I'm like, well, do you know guitars is basically like an American Fender Strat
Yep.
or a Mexican Strat. It's just like it's kind of the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's like it was pulled over there. Some people think of it, and I get it. I'm not talking down about it,
Yeah.
but I know there are some people that consider it. Oh man.
What up, toy nerds? This is Ray.
And Dave, go check out our brand new YouTube channel, The Toy Rats.
We make toys.
We talk about toys
We talk about old toys
and new toys.
and toys that we make.
And we're just a bunch of goofballs. It's a good time.
We make fun of Dave a lot.
Hey, I'm all right with that. So yeah, if you get a chance, go check out Toy Rats on YouTube. You won't be disappointed. You might be.
Yeah, you could. Who
But you
knows?
gotta check it
Anyway,
out.
Toy
Toy
Rats,
Rats.
YouTube.
Bye.
Bye.
There's a little bit more prestige when it's pulled in Japan or whatever. So I'm like,
Yeah.
cool. I appreciate that too. Anytime I pick up some kind of vintage toy and I look at the bottom, I'm like, oh, this was pulled in Japan. This is dope.
Yeah. I
Get it?
wish that there was a better name for, 'cause now like you have all these countries that are doing it, right? So
Mm.
it can be done in Mexico and
Yeah.
done in, I want to say Brazil.
Yeah.
Like
Even
Sifu,
here.
yeah. So
Even here.
Sifubi like is a good name for the one in Japan.
Yeah.
I don't like the term Mexifubi.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel good for some reason. Something about that feels weird.
It's like, I mean, I'm not, this is not what I call it, but you know, when like Taco Bell or Taco Time had Mexi fries, you're like,
Yeah.
it's like, ooh, it's like,
Yeah. So like I'm like at some point I want to come up with a name for some of those and widely distribute them.
right.
But okay, before we jump into the goodness that you are as an artist, start me back as a kid because all of this kaiju stuff and mecha stuff kind of probably comes from that. Tell me about the cartoons you're watching, the toys you're playing with, all that
Did
stuff.
I mean, God, what didn't I watch? I consumed so much TV and movies when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So I was born in Hong Kong, but primarily raised here. So I've always had, I guess let me start with this. So my dad actually runs a toy production factory in China.
Oh, okay.
So,
That's crazy.
and I have no pull from it though, you know. I had
Yeah.
to like find my all my own like source resources and stuff. But basically I grew up with a lot of toys because he would come to visit and bring like whatever samples that they had from, I mean, he, you know, his factory, they did the original like Kenner Star Wars figures, you
Oh,
know.
cool.
They did the Power of the Force Star Wars figures. They did the G1 and G2 Transformers. They did like everything.
Does
The
he
Jurassic
just have
Park
like
toys.
all those molds just sitting in a storage facility?
No, the mold wise, I don't think so. I don't know
Okay.
how their logistics work. I think the molds, a lot of times, either
Get
like
melted
Hasbro
down or
has
something.
them
Yeah.
or Mattel has them or something.
Okay.
Because they only, I mean, but they do have a warehouse because I know they do have like old toys that are just sitting in the warehouse that if like someone wants to go in there and get something, they have to get like my dad to sign off like, okay, you can go and take that if you want.
Yeah.
And they have things in there that have been there for like, you know, 30 plus years of like still packaged, you know,
I want to
toys.
know your dad so bad, dude.
But yeah, like I only ever visited the his like office and factory like once when I was a
Okay.
kid. It was like 1998. And I didn't even like, you know, I didn't even think about it, but like I went to his office. He has like the original neutrino wand
Oh,
from,
jeez.
yeah, the original one, like from the 80s. He had like
Yeah.
a prototype in there and I was playing around with it and like just cranking it and it's got the little foam like, you know, stream kind of spinning.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's a little bit of the backstory. So I guess like with the cartoons and stuff, I grew up watching a lot of American cartoons. So, you know, I grew up with X-Men animated series and Beast Wars, like Beast Wars was my Transformers,
Okay.
Ninja Turtles, and a lot of Power Rangers, a lot of Spider-Man animated series. But then I also grew up with a lot of Ultraman and a lot of Dragon Ball Z, and you know, my dad would like, or my uncle would actually record a lot of the shows over in Hong Kong, and then my dad would bring them over and I'd watch them on like recorded VHS. So like everything I watched was in Cantonese, but so those are always like my first like voice actors for Dragon Ball or any of that kind of stuff. So yeah, those are shows I grew up watching, and as well as like you know kaiju stuff, you know, classic like Godzilla stuff and all that.
Dude, the cool part about like you playing with those toys that could be samples, right? Like these are test pools that you're like
Oh yeah.
messing around with.
Yeah, he would bring stuff like they wouldn't have the packaging or anything. He was just like, here you go. Here's like a bunch of like action figures.
Unreal.
All the way up until when was the last time? Last time he visited, I think it was, man, it had to have been like pre-pandemic.
So he's still there running this factory.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I think I don't know when he's retiring. He should be retiring
Yeah.
sometime soon, but I mean, he brought do you know the SIC Kamen Rider figures? Or like the SIC, like there's the soul of or no, the super imaginative Chikugan.
I don't think so.
They're I think I've got one here somewhere. Oh, here we go. Basically, Bandai did a line of figures
Okay.
that were, remember the artist, he's actually a really famous Japanese artist, but he does like a reimagining of like Kikaider and like Kamen Rider and stuff, and does them a very like highly detailed.
Oh, those are rad.
So yeah, these are the SICs. So Bandai still, I believe, makes this line. They don't produce them as much anymore,
Yeah.
but yeah, last time he was here a few years ago, he brought like whatever Kamen Riders were out at the time, and they were working on those. So those were always really cool.
Yeah. Jeez.
So yeah, that was like the
That's
last thing he brought over, but
so rad, dude.
yeah, so I definitely grew up with a lot of toys.
Yeah. Did your, I mean, growing up that with that kind of stuff, I mean, he is over in Hong Kong doing that stuff. You're here. What was that life kind of like? Being here while he's over there doing all that kind of stuff, then coming in and
Yeah, I always get this question, and it's kind of like I know some people get affected, and maybe on a subconscious level, I got affected by it too. But like, oh, my dad was not around that much. Like, mine wasn't. He maybe only he always came around like twice a year or something like that. But that's just kind of like what I knew. It wasn't like a, oh, why wasn't he around more? It's just like, oh, this is how my life is. I didn't know anything like, you know, before that or after that, but it's just how it's always been. So it always just felt like I was always excited when he came to visit. And it felt like another Christmas because more toys were coming. So
Hell yeah.
I had a bunch of that stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's just what it was.
Yeah, I only ask, I work with students now, and I have a couple students from South Korea that live here, and they, it's kind of the same dynamic where it's like their dad will come here twice a year and then they'll fly out there once a year. And it's just to like, but everyone's still happy, everyone's still married, everything.
It's just kind of like, yeah, I mean, it's just what you kind of knew, right? Like, it's so interesting. I made a friend in high school. She was going to a neighboring high school. She was Chinese as well, but as we got to know each other, she was in the exact same situation. Like her, it was her and her sisters and her mom living here, and her dad worked in Hong Kong and would come and visit, you know, twice a year, like the exact like situation that I had. So I mean, that's why, maybe that's why I didn't feel as like weird or off a little bit, but it might be a cultural thing too. I don't know. You know, there's some families that were a lot of Chinese families growing up that are also like really tight knit. I don't know if my family was so tight knit, but yeah, it was only what I knew, so.
Yeah, at all of with all this happening, and then your love for toys and cartoons and stuff, when does art kind of pick up in there?
Same time. I immediately was drawing at a young age, so I would always draw. Dragon Ball is always primarily the main thing I always drew when I was a kid.
Dude, it's so good.
I drew it on everything, and I introduced it to all my friends before it ever like really hit the States. So I always have like the Dragon Ball figures from overseas as well. And then I remember one day one of my friends was just like, dude, that Dragon Ball thing you always talk about, it's on TV now. I'm like, what are you talking about? No way. And then I was like, oh, dang, there's Dragon Ball on TV now. But yeah, Dragon Ball and superheroes, like, always drew Spider-Man, always drew Superman as well, and drew a lot of Spawn as well. So
Does this kind of change the trajectory? Did you go to school, college, and all that?
I, weirdly enough, I went, so I think from second grade to my senior year of high school, I was in an after school art program. It was like
Rad.
3 times a week. I was there for like 3 to 4 hours, just,
Okay.
all right, these next few weeks we're gonna be working on charcoal drawings. These next few weeks we're gonna do sculpting. These next few weeks are gonna be acrylic painting. So I did that from like second grade to 12th, grade 12. Somewhere along the way, I mean, I've always loved movies, like I said, and TV shows, but somewhere along the way in like middle school, I originally wanted to be a comic book artist, but I didn't know how to go about that. And then, yeah, somewhere in middle school and high school, I started falling in love with like making movies. And then, so after high school, I actually went to film school. And so I got into that. And at that point, I actually like was not even collecting or anything. There was a big drought between, like, I didn't even know collecting was a thing, because I grew up with so many toys. I didn't know what collecting was at that time. And so between like ages of like 19 to like almost 30, man, I wasn't buying stuff really. And I always was like, I was like, I'm glad I'm not into collecting. But then at some point it hit, and I was like, oh no, things are piling up now, and I'm like hunting for stuff. But
I am always wary of people that say that they were collecting from a very young age. Were we? Like that, like we were banging the toys together. I don't know about
I
collecting.
do. I played the shit out of my toys. Like, I had the Kenner Batman animated series Batmobile. So my neighborhood, our curbs had like, rather than like a right angle curb, it was like a kind of like a little ramp. I would like launch the Batmobile off of that thing, and
Dude.
like the more damage it got, I was like, yeah, this is cool.
And then when it broke, you're like, God dang it, too much damage.
Exactly. So yeah, I anything I had from childhood, like, it's either destroyed or we sold it at a garage sale at some point. So
Tell me about starting to collect at like 30, because I have the same. Well, you got to walk it back before that, because we got to talk about you starting to make toys, getting involved in that. But I have the same thing. The early episodes of the podcast, I'm very adamant about, like, I don't collect anything. And you can see behind me, I'm a
Now you
liar
do.
now.
Now you do.
And I have like a soft vinyl case next to me and like another case. And it's like, I don't know what happened. It just slowly like crept in.
Absolutely. I told myself I was done collecting Transformers. I was a big Beast Wars guy, like I said, because I was a 90s kid. So, but I have purged my Transformers collection twice now, and I was doing pretty good this past year. And then so my studio here, I split it with a buddy of mine who's also a designer. And we were just talking one day about Beast Wars, and I was like, Beast Wars figure I always wanted was like the Optimal Optimus, like Transmetal 2 Transformers figure. I never got it, and I really wanted it. And we started talking about it, and then I literally just, as we were talking, I looked up on Marketplace, found one, and nearby, and I was like, oh no. And so I, sure enough, I went and picked it up.
Oh my gosh, dude. And
So
it's
I
a
was like,
beautiful piece.
yeah, I love this figure so much. And I remember it going on sale too when it was at KB Toys. I was like, I think the time it had probably dropped to like $20 or something. But again, I'm not, as a kid, I'm not collecting. I just like want a toy or I don't, And I don't know why I never picked it up, but
How did
now
we that is so crazy
I
that like it takes that one Google and then that one like how could I
conversation.
buy this?
Like, wait a minute,
Unreal.
money now. Well, I'm gonna buy it now.
Like the problem is that not only do I now have adult money, but I have like recycling toy money. So like
You sell something, and you're like, all right, time to put it back in.
dude. And so it's like my whole goal with Toys on Tap too is like bringing people from the outside in. because if we don't, you're just going to get my money. I'm going to get your money. It's just going to go back and forth. And I don't love that. but that is crazy. When you were a kid or like getting into film and doing all that stuff, mm-hmm. when did one, I have to ask, like, how did you feel about like old kaiju movies and stuff as you're getting into film? Because if you didn't grow up with them, like I didn't, going backwards now, those are not great movies. I have no connection.
I don't think I had that exact connection that most people have, like, oh my God, it's just so fun and goofy. Yeah. I have that appreciation now for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I never thought they were bad either.
Yeah.
Like, for example, you know, when the prequel trilogy of Star Wars came out,
mm-hmm.
people just kind of like shit on that, on those movies. You know, I had to hear it, you know, in high school and as an adult. But, oh man, those movies are so bad. I'm like, no, you know what? I freaking enjoyed those movies when it came out.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like a good amount. Like, I had a good time with it. And so I think any of those old kaiju movies that I watched as a kid or Ultraman or whatever, it's like, this was great. I'm having fun with it.
Yeah.
I don't see any flaws in it. I'm not also not watching it to be like, oh man, it's just so charming with all the monster suits. I have that appreciation now as an adult.
Yeah.
Analyze and at like the production of things now, but it's like back then, it's like either I liked it or I didn't. Like,
yeah.
And I don't have like a font, like I don't have like this like great appreciation. It's just something that I enjoyed watching and that's it.
Yeah. I'm addicted to Conigon, and he, I don't know if you've had the pleasure of watching that movie.
Mm-mm.
It sucks. I mean, it's fun for what it is, but it's so old and just crazy. And the movie has to be dubbed or subbed or something. Sure. And it's chaos. It's too much.
I grew up with a lot of Hong Kong action movies.
Yeah.
Like, I watched a lot of that stuff, and over the years, I always think to myself, like, oh man, what was that one movie I watched as a kid? And I had to look it up, and I'm able to find it, like, fully on rewatch YouTube. It now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, man, this is goofy as hell. But you know what? It's still kind of cool.
Yeah. It kind of feels like, I don't know if you've seen that movie on Netflix, RRR.
I haven't. I know it.
It's like, that's what it feels like looking back at those old movies. When I watch a movie from India,
yeah,
like, dude, what are you guys doing over there? This is crazy.
And it's like, what, 3-4 hours long or something like that, right? Yeah. It's a really long movie.
Bad graphics, all kinds of, crazy, crazy, crazy.
It's like, did you watch X-Men 97?
I did.
So I, among a lot of people, I guess, thought it was incredible, right?
Like, yeah.
It didn't have to be that good. You could have just went on nostalgia and people would have been like, oh, it's cool, it's fun.
Right.
But they elevated it. And I'm like, I think this is what we all would like to remember X-Men animated series was, except when you go back and watch that show, it's not great.
Dude, it is crazy, especially with all the other movies that have come out. Like the animated one, the piece that always gets me is Wolverine.
Yeah.
So he's like, claws out, going ham, crushing sentinels, doing things. The second that he fights a human, claws go back in. And then he starts punching. It's like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
You could kill.
Yeah.
But that is terrible.
97 was like, wow, this is what I think I remember X-Men anime series was. But if I go back, it's definitely not.
Now, are they coming out with another season of that?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're just finishing it up or something, or maybe they announced it. It was already announced like towards the end of the first season when it all dropped. So there's some whole controversy with like the creator or the showrunner because he left. There's some big thing. So, but there is a trailer. They dropped a trailer for it already.
Okay.
A few months back, I think. So, I mean, it looks exciting.
Heck yeah. I mean, your life has really been about the arts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
At some point you picked up the idea that you wanted to make a toy.
Yeah.
Walk me to that.
Let's see here. if we want to get slightly sad.
I do for the podcast.
Okay.
But then you have to promise that we're going to pick it up as well.
Sure.
Okay. So, yeah.
I can't remember what year it was, but it was like 2015, I think, or 2014. My sister got diagnosed with cancer.
Okay.
And she passed away in middle of 2019. And so at the time I was actually, do you remember Think Geek, that store? They sold collectibles, I think.
Yeah, but like the statue style collectibles, right?
No, they had like, we had like, so I managed one of their stores at the time.
Yeah.
And I was doing a lot of, you know, freelance film work. And then up until my sister got diagnosed, I was like, oh, maybe I need to just kind of be closer to home. So then I like started just working like regular retail jobs here and there. And but Think Geek was like, they sold action figures. I mean, everything.
Okay.
It basically was like what you see at GameStop as collectibles, like their toys and stuff. Think Geek was just that. Mm-hmm. Because at some point, GameStop did buy Think Geek and made it like their collectible store, essentially. So they had like the Force Effects lightsabers, Power Ranger toys, like everything there. So when that was happening, and then my sister passed away, I became like the executive of her estate. So I had to like kind of handle everything. Mm-hmm. But like 2 weeks before she passed away, she was like, hey, quit wasting time and just go do something that you ultimately will love to do or whatever. So I never even thought about working in toys. I didn't even consider it like in my mind as a job of something I could do.
Mm-hmm.
Even with like the whole background of like my dad and like growing up with toys is always just like something, oh, that's there. And I like, you know, it's cool and all. But then I had met another artist that same year that was like, who I told the same story to. And so I was telling him, like, I'm just trying to figure out what I want to do. And this was 2019. So he was like, hey, why don't you come down to DCon? I'll get you a pass. Come check it out. He is tabling there. So yeah, in 2019 at DCon, I went down, checked it out, and I was like, what is all this?
Yeah.
It's like soft vinyl. Like, I wasn't really privy to all this stuff. It was, I think I probably had a few when I was a kid, but I just didn't think of any of it. And I've always been one to, like, if I'm creating a character, I'm like, I can't take this character to completion until it has, like designing-wise, until it has a story, you know? I was so adamant about that. But then I'm meeting all these people at DCon for the first time, and I'm like, tell me about your character. And they're like, oh, well, a lot of them didn't have stories. They're just kind of based off some cool design they thought was cool. And I don't know why in my mind that unlocked like this ability, like, wait, you can do that? You can just design something and make it, and it doesn't have a story? I mean, granted, I like when there is a story aspect to it, but for whatever reason in my mind, it felt like a chain, you know? No, it has to have a story before it can be fully brought to fruition and all that. So, yeah, that's kind of where I kind of got the inspiration for it. And I was like, you know, I've always wanted to, like, create my own kind of toku character, like a Kamen Rider, Super Sentai, Power Ranger type character, so.
We interrupt this broadcast of Toys on Tap to bring you this. Meanwhile, in a galaxy of bootleg treasures.
DOV2, we have engine failure. We must crash land on DKE Toy Planet.
Oh my, we're doomed.
Wait, salvation. Hooray, we're saved, DOV2. Limited edition custom artist made action figures and DKE toys.
Check out www.dketoys.com for a full catalog.
Hooray for custom action figures.
DKE.
That's when I kind of came up with Chikogan Warrior, and so that was the first toy that I made. I had already kind of gotten into collecting a few soft vinyl figures from that DCon, and yeah, I just started like reaching out to some people. Like that first toy of mine was sculpted by Kent from Doomco.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, so I already had a figure he had designed, and I just looked him up on Instagram, and I was like, hey, could I hire you to sculpt this for me? And so that's what happened there. And then he kind of hooked me up with a factory, because I had no idea where to look for a factory. So all this is happening like end of 2019, early 2020.
Yeah.
And what happens in March of 2020?
Yeah.
Things shut down. And so now my figure that was in production is on pause. And so...
Yeah, did they pause it completely?
Oh, yeah.
Because they couldn't work either, right?
Yeah, the factory's completely shut down. So.
Right. Okay.
So what were we all doing? We were all just hanging out, right? And I'm...
Yeah, getting Trump bucks and spending on collectibles.
Yeah. At that point, I was already, like, fully fledged using my iPad as, like, main kind of tool for drawing and stuff. And I was just sitting there one day. I was like, there's got to be a 3D modeling program or 3D modeling app on iPad. And I looked it up, found one, and I just taught myself how to 3D model in the downtime of the pandemic.
Dude, that if I could go back, I would do the same.
Yeah.
Holy hell.
Yeah. So, yeah. And yeah, I've been sculpting everything from then on. So that it's first unreal. Toy was like Kent, and now it's all sculpted by me, so.
Tell me, do you have one sitting next to you?
The first one? The first one. Oh, God. I don't have the first one here. The funny thing is, I never really keep my own stuff.
That's bonkers, dude.
I know. It's. Yeah, I don't have one.
Okay. I mean, that piece, it's the giant robot, correct?
No, that was not my, that was like my third toy.
I don't know that I've seen the first one then, because that's the one I always thought.
It did not do well. I was so like happy. I was like, yeah, let's do this. And then like, sales weren't great. I think it was also still kind of like, it was lockdown time still. So I didn't know how to market myself. I don't know. So I didn't, that figure didn't do well.
Okay.
It's a very like kind of basic version of the current Chikogan Warrior toy. Because I did do like a reboot version of them.
Yeah.
That I sculpted. But that was the first one. And then I did my Sharka Kong, the first edition of that. And then I did a Chikogan Warrior V2. So I did a new suit design of the character. And he was kind of like a 6-incher. And then Starbraver came, the giant mecha.
Okay. I was confusing those in my head. Because I do, like, you went from not making toys to... having one sculpted in factory so quickly.
Yeah.
All after seeing Designer Con.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there is, I don't have a deep love for mech things, but I do have the Zord from Power Rangers. So that's where my love kind of stuff.
Yeah. That's where mine is too.
Okay.
As a kid, I watched a lot of Power Rangers. And so like Megazord is always kind of a big deal to me. That's why when you look at my Starbaby figure, it's got a very Dino Megazord silhouette.
Yeah.
It's very heavily inspired by that. So that's, and then, you know, I started watching Gundam too. And when I was a kid, I built Gundam model kits. So it was Power Rangers and Gundam.
Dude.
But kind of fueled the mech stuff. So
I will say that as a pause to this story, the thing that ruined Power Rangers for me is finding out that it was all filmed somewhere else.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And then it's like only the American actors are doing the dumb American things.
Yeah, yeah.
That did ruin a piece of it for me, but that's fine. So you get that produced and you're running with it. What does that ignite in you? Because you kept going, and I do want to talk about Sharka Kong, because holy moly, any shark toy is great.
I've done so many. It's so funny. Yeah, like my original Chikogan Warrior, I did like a reboot version. And then Sharka Kong, I did like an evolution of him, which was Super Sharka Kong. He's like the more street shark looking one.
Yeah.
So it's almost like I'm just, it's like I'm doing a reboot of my own movies or whatever, right? It's like, I can do better.
Yeah.
I stopped these like 3 years ago. I can do better. And so... And rather than coming with a new character, I'm like, I'm just going to redo what I did before.
Yeah.
I don't know. Even though like that first toy was like such a failure, I really enjoyed the process, man. Like, it's so cool creating a product that becomes just tangible in your hand afterwards.
Yeah.
It's just very cool to have something factory made that's just like right here, you know? I don't think I've ever enjoyed anything that much in my life as far as creating something as like a physical toy. And that's why I said, like, I never even considered doing toys for a career, a living, or whatever, just because it just never occurred to me that it could be something I could do. And then when it happened, it was just, yeah, it's just all I want to do now.
I mean, you just said something that I definitely want to dive into. You said it was a failure, but it started your whole career and it made you excited. What makes it a failure for you? Just sales?
Sales.
Okay.
Like at the end of the day, I get it. Like art should be art and it's passion and
But
stuff,
we need
but
money.
it's a business too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't live on enjoyment. Like I can't live on, oh, that was so fun and this is so cool. It means so much. I can't live on that. I need something
Yeah.
connect with other people too.
Yeah.
So I think that's what I would classify as a failure just because it didn't
Yeah.
do what I wanted, what I expected it, you know.
Okay.
So also I was so green. Like I was so like, I don't know anything about this industry, you know. I was like, let's just try it and see what happens.
Yeah.
That's basically what went down with that. So
Dude, I'm so pumped that you did that. I mean, that's an expensive trial, but I'm pumped that you got to do it.
Oh my God.
So, are any of the original ones around anywhere?
I'm sure I have some here in the studio somewhere.
Yeah, full
Somewhere.
relaunch of the original V1.
God, I couldn't even. I mean, it's been so long
Yeah.
since those came out because they were like pretty expensive. The factory I went with was pretty expensive.
Yeah.
I don't feel comfortable selling them at the price that I should be selling them at, but it's been so long that like I've thought about just throwing them online for like $25 and just like, just have at it, you know?
Okay.
So that might be something I'll do in the future
Heck
if I
yeah.
find the time to go dig them out. So
Tell me about the embodiment of going from that and then learning how to sculpt, right? So you're in the process of learning how to sculpt, which is funny that you are now reliving this life that you did as a kid, second grade through 12th grade, 3 to 4 hours a day, you're just learning art.
Sure.
You're right back into that in the
Yeah.
pandemic. Who are the people you're kind of grasping from, like checking out how they sculpt, all that stuff? And then how does that lead you then into, let's start with the shark.
I like just like in the aspect of the technical sense of sculpting or just more inspirations of style.
Maybe a little of this, a little of that. I think there's
Okay.
so much that we glean from it, and we sometimes we don't even realize like it's happening. Yeah.
Man, that's tough. I'm trying to think like what the inspiration was
Yeah.
for this original Shaka Kong. Like, and I say this, I jokingly say this a lot to several of my like other designer friends. I'm like, I didn't grow up loving sharks.
Yeah.
I wasn't the shark kid who loves gets shark everything. I think just as an adult, I started seeing sharks like I was like, oh, the sharks actually have a really cool aesthetic and silhouette. I want to play with that. And
An empire of blisters. Empire Blisters, specializing in action figure blisters. 2475 inch or 182. 19 different styles. Two sizes of clamshell figure cases. Four different bulk pack options. Quantities of 100 sample packs available. Empire Blisters.
Now, functional toys on tap.
That means a 10% off coupon on checkout. Use code Toys on Tap 10. That's TOYSOMTAP 10.
Empire Blisters.
I'm like three shark toys deep in now. And people are
Yep.
like, you love sharks. I'm like, I don't want to say that because I don't want someone to like call me out and start naming shark facts I know nothing about, you know? I'm like,
Yeah.
I'm not a poser. I don't know sharks. I just like how they look.
Yeah.
That's so that's kind of where the shark stuff came from, as inspiration wise. But as far as like Okay, so I got into Decon. I think at the time, Decon was difficult to get into, like to get a table from what I was
told. Okay.
I happened to meet Brandon from Motley Miscreations.
Yep.
Down in Rose City, Rose City Comic Con in Portland. And I was like, oh, I follow your stuff online. He was one of the guys I just kind of saw online and started following. We started talking and stuff because I told him I was just getting started in like this soft vinyl designing. And then I think later that month or something, he had posted online in a story that like his normal guy he tables with at Decon couldn't make it this year because of just everything with COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was like, hey, if anybody wants to split a table with me, let me know. And I immediately just, I was like, that's got to be my in. Because I was hearing from people it's so hard to get in that I didn't know when I would ever be able to get accepted into Decon. So I was like, hey, I'm down. I'll split the table with you. And so we've been doing that ever since. Like, we just split table. And so I've inspiration-wise, as far as, like, technical sense of sculpting, I've asked him questions because I think he's a really good sculptor. But I think at the end of the day, like, dude, YouTube's your best friend. I just watched a lot of tutorials from, like, Southern GFX.
Yeah.
Because I use Nomad Sculpt on iPad. And so anytime I, like, didn't quite understand how to do something, also because I didn't know the vernacular of, like, 3D modeling. So I'm like, I don't know how to, like, articulate what I'm trying to do here. I could tell you what I'm trying to do, but I don't know what it's called in the 3D modeling world.
Yeah.
So then I would, like, just kind of look it up. And most of the time it was, like, Southern GFX's videos would pop up. And so I would just watch that. But the reason I use Nomad is because it was so easy to just pick up and use. Most 3D programs, I'm like, I don't know what anything is.
Yeah.
But the way the UI is for Nomad, it kind of is almost set up like a, for someone who has like a more of a Photoshop Illustrator background, and the tools are very aptly named, like what it should be, than like some fancy word for it, you know?
Yeah.
So that's how I kind of picked up the technical sense of that. But I mean, one of the big inspirations from that first Decon was freaking James Grohman.
Yeah, he's something else.
Yeah, it's crazy. His stuff is, and I got to tell him that story too. I was like, I think you're one of the really big inspirations of me, like, getting into this, is seeing your stuff at Decon that first year. So that, and you know, Mark Nagata, you know, you gotta love his stuff too.
Yeah, like, yeah, I like Mark a lot.
I
got to hang out with him a lot because we filmed a couple mini documentary things with him, and then he's coming down. We're tabling at Collecticon. He's going to come down and do a signing and stuff with us. Yeah, he's a cool guy. I like him a lot.
Yeah, a friend of mine reached out, asked if I wanted to split a table with him or split a booth at Collecticon. I haven't decided yet, though. I don't know.
Yeah, do it.
Do it?
Do it. Corey is good people.
Yeah.
And if you do it, maybe I can get you to also come do a on-the-spot interview with me.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'll have to see what the schedule holds for this coming year. Awesome. I only have one show so far locked in for next year.
Yeah.
I don't know. I always like feel so hesitant to commit to shows. Because so much can happen in months, you know? So that's only, I love doing shows, but the downside is like, you have to commit so far in advance. I was like, I don't know. I don't know what finances will be by that time. I don't know, you know.
We're just hoping for the best is what it feels like.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So it's just kind of like, I've got some time to decide for Collecticon, but
yeah.
I am doing, I did get the acceptance letter for Wonder Festival.
Oh.
The first one in the U.S.
Oh, I didn't know there was one coming to the U.S.
Yeah, they're doing it for the very first time in the U.S. It's going to be at MomoCon in Atlanta.
Okay.
It's going to be part
of MomoCon. What a weird spot to start, Atlanta. Yeah. Okay.
It's interesting, though. I was like, that's kind of cool. Because I kind of wanted to somehow try to get into WonderCon in Japan.
Yeah.
But then, they made an announcement that they're doing the very first U.S. one. And it's a part of the anime show, MomoCon, in Atlanta. Tables are relatively cheap for like a 4-day show.
Like $600, $700.
No, dude, it's like $375
for 4 days.
4 day show, dude.
Yo, other other conventions need to watch out. God damn.
Yeah.
One of the things that I'm excited about your, like, because you have this love of mechs and stuff, yeah, and you're sculpting, you do the shark and all that. Tell me about the next beauty that kind of pulls from like Power Rangers and has that. You have one that was painted, or it was just from the factory this way. It's like every piece is a different color.
Hmm. Every piece was a different color.
It's like, it's the mech that I keep confusing it with, but I'm going to find a picture of it because it was like, I can't stop staring at
it. It might have been a custom paint, not by me. It could have been the guys from, the one I'm thinking of maybe is either from like Neil Ewing or possibly Last Bastion. I know they did a couple Star Braver variants.
It was this style.
Oh, okay.
But it was the star. But I can't, I'll have to look for it. It's this guy.
Uh-huh.
But it's in that style where it's like clearish almost.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just the clear neon. Yeah.
There it is. There it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me about this bad boy, because
beautiful. So I paint those myself.
Yeah.
So Starbraver was the first and only Kickstarter I ever did. I just kept getting told, you should try Kickstarter, because it's like, you know, first toy was a failure. Second one was okay, but it was still considered financially a failure.
Okay.
And I'm like, I don't know. Like, how do I get another, especially something so big?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if I can front money for that anymore. And so I was like, try Kickstarter, you know, and do this and do that. So luckily it funded, which was great. And actually halfway through production, or halfway through the campaign, I actually found a different factory that would do it for like could do it for less.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was able to like put more back into the figure.
Cool. Which
was cool. But yeah, so like that inspiration is just from seeing, like, I'm a very big fan of like clear soft vinyl. Like, mm-hmm. I think it looks really cool. And this was at the time too, where it was, I was already like kind of thinking, man, this is a hard industry to get in, especially being in the US and being a creator. Like, it's so hard to get paints. Nothing exists other than you have to import it from Japan and it's expensive. And then this is at just about the time Wonder Goblin started coming out with his own vinyl paints.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came out with like the clear neon paints. It's like, oh, this is going to be cool if I did Starbraver as a clear with some like black light reactive paints on it. And that's kind of the inspiration. It's just like, I personally have always loved clear and bright colors and stuff like that. So, the year I debuted Starbraver, because the Kickstarter funded, I think this was 2022.
Okay.
When the Kickstarter was successful. And I definitely under promised when it was going to release.
Okay.
Just to be safe, right? I had seen
and
way
overproduced.
Seen way too many campaigns where, like, look, I'm going to be real. I've backed 2 toy campaigns I haven't seen anything from yet.
Dude, you want to take a little segue?
Which figures are you talking about?
Oh, well, there was one that got shipped finally a year past its date.
Oh my god,
which is bonkers. And then there's one on its way now that's a year past its date that I just got word that it's on its way.
Yeah.
I get, like, I've run 2 Kickstarters.
Uh-huh.
They were both successful. I fulfilled one is still in factory.
Yeah.
I understand factory nonsense.
Yeah.
I get it. But there's got to be an alignment. Right. Right. there's got to be accountability here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that I heard this phrase and it should have been a thing to build up my soul, but instead it irritated the bejesus out of me because, and I think you as an artist as well can understand that when you go to shows and when you make stuff and you do stuff, your name is everything.
Yeah.
So I don't want my name to be run through the mud.
Yeah.
And so when I, like, we did the KMB, it was done. It got shipped. My wife and I fulfilled all orders one weekend and just shipped.
Yeah. Yeah.
People that can't get things on time, I get that there's like extenuating circumstances.
Sure.
But we've got to, like, no more of the like, the factory's doing this. We need small tweaks. That should have been, we should have like dialed this in.
Sure. Yeah.
Major projects. What are we doing?
Yeah.
All right. That's my high horse. I shouldn't have done it, but we're there.
I was so scared.
Yeah.
Like those campaigns that don't get fulfilled. So when I did Starbraver, I got a, you know, estimated date of completion from the factory before the campaign was, or before I even put the campaign together. So I was like, okay, they're saying it's going to be done this month.
Yeah.
I'm going to tack on 4 months just to be safe. And then I was like, I'm going to make sure there's at least one update every month leading up to it. Right after the campaign ends and successful, make sure there's just an update to the campaign every month, regardless if there is an update or not from the factory about anything. So I made sure every month I was like, hey guys, just dropping the monthly update. Nothing new yet from the factory. They're working on it. You know, production is production, but you know, looks like we're on schedule and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And then so I just kept doing that just to cover my base. I was so scared of any type of like my reputation of a maker and artist. But then, you know, everything got done and they got shipped. And I even got them like, I think a month and a half earlier than what the factory had quoted me. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going to get some things prepped and ready and blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, hey, happy day, guys. Everything actually came in months ahead of time.
Yeah.
Shipping them out for the next like week or so. I'm just a one person team. So just bear with me, but it'll probably take about 2 weeks just to get everything sent out. And then that year at DCon, that's when I like brought the Starbravers for the first time. But that's when I was like, oh, it'd be cool to do like a really cool, clear, neon painted one.
Yeah.
So that was a debut, was at DCon 2022, I believe.
Okay. Cause that's a rad choice.
Yeah. I originally was going to make it like because I see so many people do like, oh, this is only a limited run of 10 and they mark the foot. And I get collectors love that. I tried that. I'm too lazy for it. So I'm just like, you know what? I'll just make 3 at a time, or like make a batch, sell them, wait a year, do another batch of them, sell them, that type of thing. So
yeah. We can cut this part out if you'd like. Tell me about the toys that you have not received.
Look, I am not talking down to anyone because I'm in this space as well. I understand there are some logistics, whether especially from, you know, from COVID lockdown and shipping costs all of a sudden jumping too much. And then all of a sudden what you did raise from Kickstarter now wasn't enough to cover, you know, what had changed because of COVID, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll say it. Metal Sloth is one of them.
Oh, I don't even know what that is.
It's huge, first off. It's like...
Is it a soft vinyl toy?
Yeah, it's a beast of a toy.
Okay.
I think Groman... I can't remember if James Groman designed it or he sculpted it. It's one of those things.
Okay.
And then I actually... Because I was having really FOMO of not buying the Kaiju Killer of his at DCon in 2019.
Because
at the time, I was like, dude, I've never spent $1,200 on a toy before. That's crazy.
Yeah, that is a lot.
But then when I decided, I was like, you know what? I should just get it. It's special. It's, you know, he only brought like 60 of them. I remember going back to his table, like maybe around 1 o'clock on Saturday, and they were all gone. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh no. And I felt like I missed out. So when that campaign came around for Metal Sloth, they said this is a James Groman designed or sculpted one. I was like, okay, I'm going to get it. But I kind of want a special one. So the reward I paid for was for the Mark Nagata one-off paint. And I've told Mark this story already. I was like, I actually bought that one. He's like, dude, I'm so sorry. I don't know nothing. He's like, I don't blame you. I just want to let you know I've known that bought your one-off paint. from what I heard, the creator, again, this is basically that same situation of the shipping costs all of a sudden shot up because of lockdown and all that kind of stuff. And so what was initially budgeted within the Kickstarter amount now didn't match because shipping costs shot up. And so they didn't have enough to get the stuff shipped over because it was successful. It was a successful campaign.
But it exists somewhere.
Yeah, it's somewhere, because I had the same talk about this with someone recently, just like some friends and stuff. And I was like, I wonder, I checked the campaign out on Kickstarter. I was like, okay, people are still commenting on this, but the last update was like a year ago or maybe 2 years ago.
Okay.
And there were pictures of shipping boxes and stuff and the figures. So I don't know. Like, it's, again, I'm not talking down to them. Yeah. I'm not mad at them.
Yeah, I'll do some
research. It's like you said, just some accountability for it. Like, it's money that I spent already years ago that I'm not upset. It just, kind of sucks, you know, like whatever. But like, I remember 1 year, it must have been 2023 or 2024. The designer actually showed up with one of the test pulls to Decon.
Like, okay, I got to pull this up while we're talking, because if that
Metal Sloth.
Okay,
I have a picture of me holding it. Like, I was
it exists.
Yeah, I was like, it's here. This is crazy. And now it's been another like 2 years and nothing. And
oh, dude.
And I'm not like upset about it. I just, it's just kind of a crazy story.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Holy moly, it's incredible.
It's a big toy, dude. I don't even know where I could even put it in my studio, honestly.
Dude.
Like, on the one hand, I'm fine not having it just because I don't know where to put it.
But honestly, if I can find out, because it's November 2020 when it was supposed to deliver too.
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah. Holy jeez.
And at least I think the guy has made attempts. I know, like, there's, from hearing through the grapevine, like, people, like, I think they went through some kind of personal thing, family members or whatever, but also with shipping, like, I get it, dude, life happens. Again, I'm not talking down about it. I'm just relaying my experience with it and just knowing how I will try to not conduct myself or conduct myself for Kickstarters. Granted, I haven't done another one since my first one.
Yeah.
Because they're just a lot of work.
Dude, but I might try to find him, get a hold of him, and see if I can help get that
As far as I can tell, like, when I met him at Decon, I don't remember his name, but like, I
Expanded Universe.
Yeah, yeah, he's a nice dude. He seems like a nice dude. So, man.
I will say, and this is always no shade, like, these are just realities that exist in the thing. The Huck G one that also happened recently.
Which one is that one?
Oh my god. Huck G from Super Plastic. He did a Kickstarter to fund several figures, and then then last year, after raising $237,000, like, so much. He raised a crazy amount of money, however much money it was, and then all of a sudden was like, I'm so sorry to do this, but the project, I can't ship, and it's over.
Yeah.
And then just went quiet. And the comments are still popping off. And
it's like, okay, you can't ship, it's over. Okay, but does the product exist? Because if it does, maybe your backers might be a little upset, but I bet they're willing to pay an additional whatever just to get their product shipped, you know?
Yeah. Like, it is tough,
Yeah. So I don't know. It's like, I'm always under that mindset of, I spent this money like 5 years ago. It's fine. Like, you need me to pay an additional $100, $200? Okay. As long as, like, you actually send it to me.
Yeah. With the, all this, I mean, a successful Kickstarter, that then gets pivoted in your brain probably as, this is a success.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which, that's incredible. Of course it's a success.
Yeah.
With that in mind, that probably then also, like, shoots you, like, toys is what you're doing.
Yeah.
So following the Kickstarter, following the shipment of that.
Mm-hmm.
What does that do for you as you are also then like really living out what your sister had asked?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, all right, time to do the next one.
Dude,
like,
what's the next
figure? It's funny. I think the next one was the next Sharka Kong, which that was a failure.
Because
at the time, I think I was like, I didn't have a good place to paint. Mm-hmm. So when I got the Super Sharka Kongs done, I never painted them. So they were just blanks. And so they kind of didn't get a lot of attention just because they were just always blanks. Not until this year, because I moved into this like art studio with a buddy of mine. It took us a year to finally plan and design a paint booth and set up and all that kind of stuff. And so finally, like earlier this year, I painted a few Super Sharka Kongs for some of the shows I did. Immediately sold. I had people coming up like, oh, I saw you posted this online. This is the first thing I want to get, like right at the open doors. I'm like, oh, okay. It was just my fault for not painting them. That's why people didn't care for them. So I've been like, cool. I'm actually getting through like some inventory now of that stuff. And so, yeah, it's just kind of learning like what people like and want, I guess, out of my stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to like make something because someone asked, oh, you should make this. Like that will never be the case. But someone who already likes my stuff, but then like kind of what they're expecting out of the stuff I do.
Yeah.
Learning that. And so, and learning the community too. Like I get it. I like painted stuff as well.
Yeah.
So that's been helping a lot. And so those are finally working. And I finally started making smaller guys.
Mm.
Up until now, I've always made big toys. And
yeah,
I don't have a strong name in the industry. So it's not like people are lining up to get my stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So my stuff has always been kind of like people see it on a drive-by walking as they're going to the table. They want to get their stuff first and then not realizing, oh, that's cool. All right, I'm going to come back and look at that. Maybe if I have enough money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the budget, I'm not budgeted in, but if there's something left over, then they'll get it.
Yeah.
So then I finally did some like small, like 4-inch guys, like this guy here.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Yeah.
He's a good
guy. So I released these guys this year and they've been doing great because they are a lower price point for people. So I think it's really just kind of dialing in what the community is looking for and the like fans are looking for and this kind of stuff. So that's kind of what's propelled me forward. It's like, all right, what's the next one? What's the next one?
Heck yeah.
What's the next one? If you want to know what the next one is.
That's what I'm talking about. That's the next question.
I've already shown it. I've shown the 3D print online. Or no, the 3D model online a few months back. If you're at DCon and you stop by my table, I did have one of the test poles. Another shark.
Oh, dude, with the shell. The shell.
It's a very Gamera shark
style.
First time doing like a full...
he's a beauty.
Like, asymmetry with the design and all that, so... It's kind of
giant,
kind of posed. Yeah.
How big? 8 inches? 9 inches?
8.5.
Okay.
Yeah, 8.5. But yeah, I've got these are on the way.
Okay.
I think they're supposed to be here tomorrow.
Wow.
So they were originally supposed to be for DCon.
Okay.
Didn't get.
Oh, I did see the post.
So, but these are on the way. I think they're slated to be here tomorrow.
Okay.
So I'll probably spend after Christmas time like painting some up and throwing up on the website. So,
okay, we got some clears with some neon colors.
Yeah, I've got clears. The clears are in the order.
Okay,
for sure. So we got that. This guy was also supposed to be for DCon too, but he's my mascot for the company.
Oh, cool.
So
I like the S on him.
Yeah, for Spumoni.
Yeah.
So yeah, I got him. He literally just came in yesterday. This is also one of the test polls.
Mm.
I get it. It's my fault, honestly. I sent both of these to the factory at the same time. Mm-hmm. I overloaded them. I get it. I'm not upset they couldn't get me the figures in time for DCon.
Right.
I was just being too hopeful. you know.
So, hey, we could hope. We could hope.
Yeah, so it's okay. It's okay. But yeah, this guy's next.
Wild.
And then I've already...
He's a beautiful figure. If no one has told you, he is beautiful.
I think he's pretty adorable, too.
Yeah. You know?
It's kind of cuddly. A little cuddly.
Holy
hell. Yeah, so I've got a few more things kind of going already at the factory for next year, so...
Cool.
Just keeping the ball rolling.
Yeah. It feels, honestly, like a never-ending... Like, once you start, you have to continue.
Yeah.
Or else it's over.
Yeah, there's no break in it.
So, yeah. And, like, we're doing the same thing here with the Claw and the Queso Jones and stuff. And it's like, and then I have, this is the one that I want to do after.
Oh, my God. That's so cool.
Dude. But I don't know what it's going to do for paint and stuff. But
yeah, that's a lot of hard surfaces to play.
Yeah, around. And I don't know. We're working on it, but this is the one that's currently there with the case.
Yeah, that's cool. That's the Super Shogun Godzilla hand, right?
Like, yes, it is the Lucky Kaiju Claw.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, is like I didn't grow up with those Super Shoguns. Didn't really know what they were.
Yeah,
but as I got into doing this stuff, I learned.
Yeah.
And now I have a couple of them on the shelf up here.
Dude.
And I pre-ordered the, because Bandai had been doing like the relaunch of them.
Yeah.
And so I've got like the Raideen on pre-order. And
heck yeah. So. Yeah, it was way before my time. And then even growing up, I never saw it.
Yeah.
And then when I first started hearing about it, it was always like, the fist is missing.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, one day I will make something with that. And that day is here now. So that's cool.
Yeah. You found all the fists.
Yeah. With all that, dude, like, and you look over your career, do you love that you made the pivot to toys? And do you love, like, are you happy?
Yeah. You know, absolutely. I think I tell my fiance this all the time. It's like, I don't think I can go back to any type of other job.
Right.
That doesn't allow me to create.
Yeah.
Like, I like making things, storytelling, all that kind of stuff. Like, I just cannot, I would be absolutely miserable just doing, and again, I'm not talking down. I don't like talking down. I don't like, I'm not talking down to like normal jobs or anything like that. It's just not for me.
Yeah.
My brain is not wired for it. Maybe at some point, you know, before I started doing this, I kind of didn't mind it. You know, it's very kind of remedial and mindless. And like, I just go clock in, do my thing, and then go home. And then I can like relax. It's interesting. I don't see myself going back to it. But also, I don't ever have time. Not time, but I guess the brain space to just turn off my brain.
Right.
On my time at home, I always have my iPad with me anywhere I go, just to be drawing or sculpting or something. But when I had like my, it is like work, but I enjoy it. But then like the before times when I was working like my retail jobs, I had more of a relaxation. And I'm not saying it's not relaxing. I'm not like trying to talk down to myself now because I don't get that satisfaction. I still do, but in a different way, because it's part of like the work now versus I can back then when it was just kind of like for fun or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
It's like separated from what I do actually for work back then. But now that it is work, like I feel like I'm always constantly doing something.
Yeah.
And not having like actual off time for myself. Like, that's why it's hard for me to play video games.
Hmm.
I feel like, no, I could be sculpting right now. I'm wasting time. I need to be productive, you know? So, man,
that is true. I have one more thing before we leave. We're going to do something new that I want to start on this show because I think it's such a good idea. We're going to talk good behind someone's back. Who is an artist that you are like floored by their work and love what they're doing?
Let me see here. Like every time I'm at DCon, man, like all the friends I get to say hi to, all their stuff is so good. I don't know how many times I walk by someone's table and I'm just like, man, how did I not think of that? That's so cool. You know what? I'll say this. Dave from, oh, actually two days.
Mm-hmm.
One is Dave Igo. I want to say his last name is Igo.
Mm-hmm.
He's got like, I have one of his figures here. He works with Acro. Acro is like the company that like pulls his stuff, but they do like really cool reimagining of kaijus. This stuff just like blows me away.
Oh, yeah. I just saw one of those the other day.
Yeah. I saw this and I was like, God dang, dude, this thing is so cool.
Yeah.
So, Dave Igo, this stuff. I think it's his brand, he calls it Igo Stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Igo Stuff, and it's made by Acro.
Okay.
So that's one. And then the other one is Dave from Akashi Records.
Oh, heck yeah. That bag he just made is crazy. Yep.
Literally about to pull the bag right here.
Dude, it is such an insane way to like view soft vinyl.
Yeah. It's so cool. I was like, dude, what a genius idea.
Yeah.
I love it. It's got that kind of Pachi style sculpt to it by Matt. And yeah, this stuff is awesome.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, these two. I mean, I'll throw in, I don't know, there's something about Mark Nagata. Like he...
Everything he does.
Yeah, he just like, just not even just like his artistry, just like everything he does and the type of person he is. He's like just so friendly.
Yeah.
So welcoming to anyone who's into this stuff. I remember one time, I think it was like two or three decons ago, he's like, this is what we were just conversation having with him. But he's like, he was thinking like, oh, maybe just step back a little bit and let some of the new guys come in and start doing their thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but you being here isn't like a roadblock for anyone else, you know?
Yeah.
And so like, but he's always been so nice to me. And like, I love catching up with him anytime I run into him in a show, and love picking his brain because he's been in this industry for so long, you know?
Dude. Yeah.
So just kind of learning.
Yeah. You meet good people along the way, and and we were filming at his house, like filming his collection and all that stuff. And then he was like, are you guys hungry? And like fed us lunch and all that stuff. And then fed us dinner and then took us to the airport. And it was like, dude, you didn't have to do any of this stuff.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, he's just such a good dude.
Yeah.
So I try to remind myself of that when I'm talking to people. Not that like people annoy me or anything at conventions. Like it's just, but if there's a day where I'm just feeling tired, I'm like, okay, just gotta remember people are here because they love this stuff.
Yeah.
I just want to chat with people and creators. And so
heck yeah,
I gotta muster up that energy to people and remember to do that kind of stuff. So
absolutely. The last part of the podcast is plugging everything about you as the artist, what you've got coming, where we can get it, and what you've got for sale right now. So please plug away.
Yeah. So I don't have anything. I mean, I have stuff on the website right now. It's SpumoniToysCo.com.
Yeah.
That's my online store. I think the stuff that's on the website right now is stuff that I have had this whole past year. So nothing new, but like I said, this guy, who's named Kugora, he will be available on there in the next coming weeks once they're all painted up. I'll have this on there. I'm even thinking about doing a t-shirt. I did a nice like digital color pencil artwork for it. So I've got some like samples of the t-shirts. I think I posted it on my Instagram as well.
Yeah.
At Spumoni Toys Co. So shirts will be available too.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Again, my next show isn't until May.
Okay.
At MomoCon in Atlanta. I might do Collected Con. We'll see. But yeah, that guy's coming. This guy's coming. I got another kaiju in the works right now with the factory. I think that one I'm slating for MomoCon release.
Okay.
We'll see. You know, that's not too tight of a timeline. It's also not too complex of a sculpt that would give the factory a little bit of issues.
Yeah.
Because this guy doesn't look complex, but he's got, you know, a bunch of like points. If you look at like the knee there.
Yeah.
He'll pull something like that. And just what I think isn't complex. Sometimes the factory comes back and is like, hey,
this is too much. Yeah.
Yeah. We need to figure something out with this part. I'm like, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's what's coming up. This guy's next. Like I said, Kugora, look out for him. I make all my announcements on Instagram, so I'll do posts there and lead ups to that. I'm trying to do more video content as well. Mm-hmm. I literally shot at every single show this year I went to, and I have only edited one.
Woof.
So I've got a lot of backlog to like put together and get them up online. But yeah, they're just like my time at the shows, like just vlogs of that. And then some like videos of behind the scenes of me working on stuff and painting and all that. So I just need to muster up the energy to edit all that. Yeah. And then actually one thing I am looking forward to doing soon is my studio mate and I are going to try to do the Craftsman style of pulling some soft vinyl in-house.
So heck yeah.
If we can do that, that'd be cool. Because if I have an idea, I can quickly just, all right, well, let's make the mold. Let's try it out. And then pump out some kind of smaller figures, you know. And I can still keep doing all the larger stuff with the factories. But if I can do all the small guys in-house, that'd be great. Yeah, that's what's coming next.
Heck yeah, dude, thank you so much for coming on Toys on Tap.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thank you for having me. This is a lot of fun.